This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Glow and Tell on ORFM, where women from around the world shine, speak and share
what beauty, power and presence mean in their culture, their way.
Welcome back to Glow and Tell, where we get real about the story, glows and glow ups. That makes us who we are. I'm your host, Humaira, and today I'm so excited to welcome a woman of wisdom, humor, hustle, and heart. She's mom, she's a businesswoman, beauty enthusiast, and life explorer, the brilliant Shelley. Welcome to the show, Shelley. I have been buzzing to have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Humaira. Yeah. Great to be here.
Yeah. So, in our first part, I want to know all about, you know, your life experiences and everything. So I just divided this show in different parts to know as much as I can in this limited time. We don't have much time. So I thought we will just do all the bits we can in this limited time. So when I was dividing the parts, I was like, this should be names of those parts. So
yes.
The first part is Layers of Shelley. Yeah. So what did young Shelley want to be when you grew up?
Oh, my goodness. Humaira, I still ask myself, what does Shelley want to be when she grows up? But look, I had no idea. When I was at school, I knew I didn't want to go to uni. I knew that I wanted to get out and start working. I tried a few things. I worked as a veterinary nurse, which I actually really loved. And then I found myself in doing roles in hospo. And then from there, I actually found myself, I gravitated to leadership roles. Just naturally, people would go, I think you could, you know, close up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it certainly meant that, I then found that what I was good at, I guess, which was,
Which was amazing.
Leadership.
So, Shelley, when I was speaking to you earlier on emails, and I found it out you are a mother and stepmother. So what have motherhood and stepmotherhood taught you about identity and growth?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I was late to the party becoming a mother at 35. So I have one beautiful son, Alex, and then I feel really blessed to have been able to, you know, add two amazing humans to my family with Evan and Elena. And, you know, that we're just so rich together because we all bring something different. We're hugely supportive of each other and we respect each other's viewpoints. So just that real beauty in a blended family actually is quite wonderful. My son has a stepbrother with his dad too. So it's like it's quite amazing how something can become quite beautiful actually.
Yeah.
And we're all so different, whether we were all the, you know, that's what makes life good.
Different but together. Yeah. That's the family, the sport we want.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm an immigrant to New Zealand and when I moved to New Zealand, the first thing which was really I felt missed was the family sport.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was like, oh my God, I don't have, although now I can say I have a big blended family where I have lots of Kiwi friends and, you know, I just call everybody family, meeting women every day, having connection with them and, you know, having some sorts of common things with them. So that definitely makes a big family and I totally understand and how much it would be fun to have blended family.
Yes.
So, Shelley, you have worked in high-level retail, definitely, and also you ran your own business.
Mm-hmm.
What did each of those worlds teach you about people?
Yeah. So people, you know, we are the sum of our beliefs, right? What we've grown up believing, what's embedded in us. And I think, you know, I've really learnt in my time, whether it's been in my own business or been leading a team, that we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are, which is why I'll see something and you'll see it a different way. And that's what it's really taught me. So it's for us not to get caught up in our own importance, and actually when someone's given us a job, or if just appreciate the role that we play for each other, right? We come together and we're great together.
Again, like, you know, having different approaches, but at the end of the day, you know, love is the one thing which make people, you know, makes people get together. So when did you first realize that personal development was your passion, not just a trend?
Yeah, I had this wonderful opportunity in a business where I was managing. A wonderful woman called Kim came and offered myself and my team self-improvement course, a personal development course based on the book Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Yeah. And it was all about goal setting. It was all about set the goal and work towards the goal, take a step towards it. It will come, you know, it'll come a step closer to you, so to speak. And, you know, my goal at that time was to build a new home. And a few years later, I realized that goal. So, yeah, it was very much about goal setting and focusing on that goal and taking steps towards it, and it was amazing, and I just loved it, and I could see the impact it had on my team. I was like, oh my goodness, this is my thing.
So what was the name of the book which you just mentioned by Napoleon?
Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
That sounds really good. I think I should go. Can you get it from library?
Absolutely. It's an old one, but a good one.
It's beautiful how your identity evolves layer by layer, like skincare, right?
Yes.
So sometimes you peel, sometimes you gloss.
Actually, this one's awful. What you say, you know, how did I get into that? One of the things that when I was in that time at that business, the managers in the business, the you know, well above me, had identified obviously that there was an opportunity for me to maybe, you know, bring about this a change in the culture in the store, and it was something that the company had a vision to improve in its in the business as a whole in every store. So they identified me to go to this course, which was on the fish philosophies, and I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
I'm introducing you to lots of books today. So the fish philosophies is all about, it actually started with a guy that, it's the Pike Place Fish Market in Seattle. And not a very nice job, right? You know, fish, but smelly in your throat. Yeah. So what they did is this guy got in and he just really changed the culture. They had fun. It'd be like, oh, Humara, you've come in for your tuna today. Yeah. And they would throw that tuna. Like they would, between them, they would throw this thing around, and they just created fun and a really electric vibe. And they became famous for it, and a book was written.
Yeah.
And it was all about workplace culture. Like, it doesn't matter what the job is, it's the people that you're with and the, you know, the culture and the fun that you have together, right? So four philosophies that are in that book, I'll just tell you what they are. One is play. Every day that you go to work, whatever you're doing, you always make sure there's some play in there. And I would say to my team, you know, that play is infectious, and do that with your customers. You know, if you're having some fun together, bring the customer into that, because that's what it's about, right? So what a great place to come. Another part of it was make their day. So whether that's a person in front of you or the people that you work with, make their day. Do something nice for them in some way that makes them feel good, and you've left them better than you found them, I guess. Be there. That's that showing up and being there, being present. And then the last one, most importantly, and it was probably the game changer and a bit of cultural stuff for people, is choose your attitude.
Oh, yeah.
We get all of the feelings that we have, whether we're mad, sad, happy, angry. They're all, they're very real, but we get to choose whether we stay in that moment or whether we move forward. So they were the four philosophies that I got to embed in my team, and people would come to my store and say, look, just what a, you know, they could feel the, just it was different. There was something different about it. I sort of didn't get it. I was like, really? Yeah. It's just a store like anybody else's store, but it wasn't. There was a real, a good vibe. People working together. Yeah, it was great.
So it's a play, be there, change your attitude. And what was the...
So it's play, make their day.
Make their day, yeah.
Be there, so be being there. Present. Yeah, yeah. Choose your attitude.
Choose your attitude. That's so good.
So I did fall in love with personal development. Yeah. And Himura, I went on to go into my own business online, and it was in personal development, and I just knew I'd found a business that I was passionate about.
So Fish Philosophy, we are going to talk about your business in a second, because this is just so interesting. And something, I was looking for something to read, so I found two books now.
Oh, there you go. There you go. So
that is so good. Now, my second part of today's conversation is beauty that's lived in.
Yes.
I can see, Shelley, you are a stunning woman, and getting to know you is like even I can see it's a person inside out beautiful. So, what did beauty mean to you growing up, and how has that definition changed over time, if it has?
Yeah, look, my my beauty regimes and my skin, et cetera, when I was young, I didn't think about it. It wasn't until I was sort of probably early on in my, 20s that I rode horses. I was always outside getting windburn and sunburnt, and I was the sporty one in my family, so I was outside. I was getting my dose of sun, so vitamin D was my thing, and that's good for the skin too, but I needed a bit of protection for sure. But my education started, certainly I loved makeup from early teenage years and still do, but it was a little bit of cleanser. I don't even think I was good at that, to be really honest with you.
Yeah, but you did.
But I did, because I had to get one lot off to get the next lot on. It might have been in the same morning. But but then, I guess where some people really understand that foundation of your skin is the, is what you're going to put your makeup on. And if you look after that, your makeup will look a lot better, right? But it took me a lot of years to probably really understand that. And SPF probably was the one thing that I needed the most, if nothing else, right? But I guess I grew up in an era where we would have put lotion on to burn and sizzle rather than, SPF.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. So you had your first skincare intro through a Red Door salon.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yes.
Was that a turning point?
Yeah, it was actually, because it was an education, right? We're ignorant and we only have our own, knowledge based on what we know up to a point. And only when we get new knowledge can we change our, perspective on something. And it certainly did. This woman, Billy Marge, Red Door is because Elizabeth Arden, Red Door fragrance. She had this Red Door to her salon, and that always stuck. It always sort of made me smile, because right through my career, I've always seen the Red Door. It was such a, it was a fragrance. It was everything. But look, she definitely taught me a lot. I had facials, and she just taught me that really, that true importance of looking after your skin, and that it doesn't matter at what age you start. Yeah. It's never too late to start.
And so it was just the facials, or did you try fillers and collagen therapies as well?
Humara, I'm old. There wasn't even a thing when I was in my 20s.
Oh, man.
Not like the girls today. It's like, oh, my golly. No, it was about, wanted to get the impurities out of your skin, and they were squeezing your skin, and you're like, good grief, I do this at home. I'm coming to pay for you to squeeze my skin. But anyway, that was my start. It was more about the skincare and what I needed to be putting on my skin and using on a regular basis.
Well, you have done amazing job, because it does look like that, there has been something done. You are amazing. Do you think that women are finally talking more honestly about aging and enhancements? Like, you know, you just said that, you know, I started way earlier, you know.
Yes.
But back in the days, people were like quite scared of saying how old they are, or, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll go back a little bit, like, because I said, you know, look, when I was in my 20s, unlike what is available today, there isn't things there. But as I age, I'm going back a little bit just to say that, look, I started to see the frown lines. It's like, I look mad. Yeah. I might be frowning, but I don't want you to see that I'm frowning. So I did. I tried Botox in my 40s. I had a little bit of Botox. Yeah. Of late, I've done a little bit of Botox. I've tried some needling, which is just to really improve the texture of my skin. Yeah. And as my wonderful beauticians have said to me, just to give me a more rested look. I will take that.
Yeah.
I have quite a slim face, so wrinkles be me. I'm not too, don't have that you know, lovely plumpness in my face, so I need a little bit of help. I could do a wee transfer from my thighs to my face, maybe a little bit of fat transfer.
Yeah.
And I've tried a little bit of filler as well. And, I'm very happy. I want a natural look, a naturally enhanced look. You know, as we age, everything starts to, certainly thin and reduce. So I feel very confident and happy in my own skin.
That is what we want, the confidence, you know.
Yeah.
Just be happy and just be confident.
Yes.
Because I say, there is no other you.
Yes.
It's only one you in the whole world.
That's right. So, make the most of the one of us.
So confidence and, you know, just be happy, I think. And when once you have accepted yourself as you are, I think it makes things easier for you to try on and, you know, it and you stop following trends. You just find yourself. Okay, this is what you are. In Pakistan, where I am from, fair color, white complexion is beauty.
Yes.
So, you know, it doesn't matter. Your lips are small or big, your eyes are big or small. It's just the skin color. And growing up throughout my life there, that was one thing I was trying to be light.
Yes.
You know, make my skin lighter. Since I moved into New Zealand, I'm like, no, actually, my skin color is good.
Your skin color is gorgeous.
I'm like, people are paying to be tan.
Himara, I spent my youth in in a tanning bed, you know, like, and I have to tell you, I'm white and I still put on tanning. We want to be bright. We never are happy with what we are,
But since I have accepted that thing, it has given me confidence.
Yes.
Yeah. So I can't agree more with you about this thing that once you accept, you know, and once you feel confident in yourself, that's the thing.
That's it. Happiness comes from within, right? Like we sometimes we're looking for happiness out there. I'll say to my friends sometimes, you know, it's not out there. It's it's in you.
If you
only be happy when you discover, you.
So I can see that beauty is is playing a big role in your life, Shelley. So what's the one beauty habit you swear by and one you always forget to do?
I am absolutely loving my moisturizer and I'm getting much better with my sunscreen. For a while, Humara, you'll laugh, but I was like, I don't need to wear sunscreen. I'm working inside. And then it's like, every light source is affecting our skin. I've been really good at that.
Water
is to keep the water up for me. Yeah. That's the one that I'm good in and I'm bad.
Good. It is so refreshing to hear you to talk about beauty with honesty, humor, and a bit of revelation.
Probably a little too honest. Yeah.
We need more of that now. So now, going towards our part three, which I named expansion, exploration, and experience. So When I was talking to you on email and I was reading a little bit about you, you mentioned about Japan.
Yes.
So what did Japan teach you as a woman, as a traveler and a human being?
Yeah, thank you. And I just picked up on, you know, you used that word expansion for this. And I just thought, you know, that's exactly what I see travel. I see travel as a mind expanding experience. Yeah. And Japan was like, no two places are the same, yeah. Right? But what Japan taught me as a woman was I felt safe there. I saw little girls and, you know, kids young, like 4 and 5, out walking in the street together with their little backpacks on, so cute. And I looked around when I first saw the first two, like, where's the parent? But it's safe. Yeah. You know, people look out for each other. They're polite and respectful. Oh, it blew me away, actually. Yeah. In a city of, went to Tokyo, just to quantify that. And, you know, a city of 35 million, and it was quiet. Oh. If I show you a photo, like you just see people and you see vehicles, it's quiet. Mm. It actually made me come home and be, I can be a bit loud and noisy, as my girlfriends would attest to, but it made me be quiet because they're actually just, oh my goodness, there's so much to learn from every place you go, and their respect for their environment, it's clean. So for so many people, there was so much to learn there. It blew me away, actually. Just amazing.
I am planning to go to Tokyo, hopefully soon.
Good.
Yeah. One thing is Disneyland. I think their Disneyland will be like next level because they are just perfectionist in everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And second thing, I did hear that, you know, they are living a step ahead of all of us, you know, they are advanced nation. Yeah.
It's really interesting because, and, you know, someone has said it to me before I went in, and it's like, yeah, no, you're absolutely right, because it's like there's a lot of old, but it's right next to new and you know, leading, cutting edge. And it is very like that. It's like, but it all just functions so well. It's incredible. Yeah, amazing. You will love it and you will love the shopping.
Definitely.
Beauty everywhere there. They do it all well.
And I heard about their cherry blossom is the most beautiful season to go to, and, you know, that's the one where you actually should go and explore it. Otherwise, it's really good that time of the year. So talking about seasons, Charlie, what season of life are you in now? Because I can only see and feel spring there.
Oh, my goodness. Stop it. Are you reading my notes? I went, season of life. I think I'm in spring because I feel like I'm rediscovering my health, you know, learning within my work and just teaching myself to learn new skills and embrace change. It's just so easy to let ourselves get a little bit stagnant, too comfortable. And I know that only when I'm uncomfortable am I growing. You know, Annie said, oh, Shelley, I've got you to do it. You're coming to see tomorrow. And I sat there quietly and went, no, I don't want to. But I had been the one to go, Annie, but get out of your comfort zone. So I thought I'd better eat my own words.
Yes. When Annie was telling me about the bunch of girls you are, I was so impressed at how you guys are living the life. Yeah. I was like, that's the way. That's the way. That's beauty. That's glamour. That's fun. You know, everything you guys do together, that's just so, so cool to hear from Annie, because I know two of your friends and I meet them quite often, Annie and Sandra.
Yes. So, beautiful.
Yeah. So it's really good to, you know, get to know the third one.
And the funny thing is, some of us do read books in this book club.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So, Do you think travel shapes our self-worth and worldview as much as books or therapy too? Because, you know, I heard about that book club.
Yes, I do. Because, Himara, it doesn't, if you can't live vicariously through others, right? You need to, if you want to, you have to truly experience something for yourself.
Yeah.
Nothing replaces, like I said to you, I could show you a picture of Japan, but that's nothing how it actually feels when you're there. It could look overwhelming, but the feeling is quite different.
Yeah.
And it involves all your senses.
Yeah.
You need to see it, smell it, you know, taste the food. Like it's just, I think you've got to experience things for yourself, right?
Definitely. And I can see that you definitely have a soft corner for Japan in your heart, and especially Tokyo. But is there any other part of the world made you feel most yourself, or was it just the Tokyo?
Yeah, for me, I actually really loved Italy.
I love
mountains and lakes. Yeah. I've got a total thing for mountains and lakes and nature. And, you know, they say that our vibration, and we're, all things are vibrating, right?
Yeah.
That our vibration is perfect with nature. And I think that's why it makes me feel really good. I'm in my happy place when I'm out in nature. So that was just one place that just really made me, people are family orientated, then there's a buzz and a hub, but they're happy in their work. They go about with a little bounce, and I just love it. And who doesn't love a good wine and pizza, pasta? Good Chris.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't wait. Shelley, I'm going Europe in September this year.
That's not so far away.
So Italy is definitely on my list to go there. I can't just go, and I can't wait to go there and explore, you know, what we hear about. And now listening from you, making me like, okay, I have to go after England. I have to maybe just go to Italy first and then anywhere else. So, what's one thing you always learn about yourself when you travel? Like, I can see you have been traveling a lot. So,
I think, you know, home is a postcode, right?
Yeah.
You can be happy wherever you're happy. So if you're with someone that you love and you're having experiences that if you are happy, home is where you make it, right? So I think, you know that. It's a big deal, isn't it, to come and live in another country?
Yeah.
I've married an American, and he's lived in a number of countries. So it's not so daunting for him. But every time I go somewhere different, I go, I could live here. Actually, you know, we get a little bit scared sometimes to get out of our comfort zone. It does also make me appreciate things that I do have at home that I like, but it opens my worldview, makes me see that the world's smaller than we think it is.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I love the expression, it's postcode. You're clearly someone who seeks depth even in new places. And speaking of getting deep, let's lighten the mood for a minute. It's throughout, it's been fun. And, I described you as the one who is explorer with really good humor.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's a rapid fire round.
Oh, woohoo.
Yes. So we have to be very quick to answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, so no thinking. So favorite skincare product right now?
Vitamin C cream.
Good.
Not fast enough, anyway.
Red lipstick or nude gloss?
Oh, red lipstick.
Yeah. Morning walk or night out?
Whoa, morning walks.
I thought you were going to say night out.
No.
Okay. Most used emoji.
Oh, the smiling blush face.
Aw. Guilty player food.
Oh, goodness. Lollies. A sweetie.
If you had to give a TED talk today, what's your topic?
Being happy now.
Very nice. What's something you wish more women over 40 would embrace?
Being happy in your own skin, build each other up, and celebrate each other.
Good. Song that always gets you dancing. Even in the kitchen.
Footloose.
Yeah. Travel must have.
Oh my gosh, comfy shoes.
Yeah. One thing that instantly makes you feel confident.
Hair and makeup.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that was painless. And now I feel like I know you even better. Now, you know, we talked about the books and you got, you know, the first one from the Napoleon book and then the other one. I have to get fish. That name written from you. And then was the fish. So then it. I think you from there, what I'm seeing that you started making goals and, you know, in life and you made everything intentionally that, okay, this is going to. So we are going to talk about that living intentionally. How does it feel? So what are you prioritizing this year, like spiritually, physically or emotionally?
Yeah. So for me, spiritually, you know, we all can have our gods, right? So for some people it might be Buddha, for some people it might be God. For me it's the universe, you know, so I really tap into what the universe is telling me. That's, you know, in line with my personal development. Physically for me, it's very much about what I put in my cake hole versus the amount of exercise that I'm putting my body through to burn, you know, for what I really need. And emotionally for me, it's getting comfortable, getting uncomfortable, doing those things, saying yes and work out how afterwards, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Shelley, you're going to go and talk to her mother on the radio?
Yes.
Okay, I'll work out how later.
Yeah. And what is your unlearning at this stage of life?
My unlearning. So my unlearning is just move forward, let go. You can't go back, right?
Yeah.
You can only move forward. So let go, move forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is amazing. Because many people, they just sometimes they get stuck to the moment and they can't just get rid of that moment. And it's a big burden they carry with them all the time. But if people can learn this thing that let it go, move forward, I think life would be much easier for not only for them, but the people around them.
Yes.
Because it definitely affects everybody.
Mm.
So it's amazing thing that
we feel each other, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm happy, you'll feel it. But if I'm sad, you'll feel it.
Yeah.
At least we will if we're awake.
Yeah. No, definitely you do feel like my business is meeting people, especially women all the time. And women are not really good at hiding their emotions and you know what they are feeling. So the moment they come into my place, I can tell that what's going, even though I probably won't know the reason, but I would tell the energy there that this person always comes really happy, but today the energy is very low.
Yes.
And sometimes we do ask them and people open up because they want a listener there, and especially a listener who is not going to go and, you know, say something.
Yes.
So, but I have felt that thing that if a person comes with the low energy, when they leave, we are still low until another person comes in who has like very high energy. And then we are like, okay, we are back to track now.
And I think that's that wonderful thing of knowing, like if, you know, we talk about being open about skincare and talking about our skin and what we are prepared to do to our bodies. And I think that's why our little book club, we love each other because we're open with each other on all things, right? So I think that's that same thing. Sometimes we just have to go, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, ask the question. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's lovely that you do.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just, you know, asking a person, are you okay? And letting them get rid of what they are holding in there helps them. And also it gives you some sort of feeling that you were able to help somebody today.
Yes.
I feel it when I feel like when the person came in very down, but when they are leaving, they are a little bit better.
Yeah.
It gives me also happiness that, okay, I tried to do something good for them. Whatever, you know, I can advise them in my best capacity, I try to do that. So, what kind of legacy do you hope to leave, not just for your family, but for anyone who crosses paths with you?
Yeah, I think just to leave people better than you found them, you know, impart some positive energy, and a can-do belief. Like, we if we want it, we can do it, right?
Yeah.
We'll find a way. And we're not always up. Like you just said, you know, people will come in with a low energy because, you know, there's stuff going on. Well, that goes back to the fish philosophies.
Yeah.
Choose your attitude. Like, it's real to sit in those moments of sadness or low. But we get to choose to move out of that as well. No one wants to stay in a funk, right?
Yeah.
We want to move into a happier, better vibration for ourselves.
Yeah. And when do you feel most at peace with yourself?
Yeah, I guess when I'm fueled spiritually, because it means that I'm in that happy place in myself and I can handle a whole lot more, right? So for me, it's getting out in nature too. That's, you know, that nature fills my cup, if you like. So, as I said, we're at one, and we're in, you know, in the same vibration with nature. So that is our happy place.
Good.
That's certainly mine.
Your radiant wisdom, but also that cheeky spark. I love the
yeah, I've got that. Thank you.
Okay. So final question, Chelle. If you could leave our listener with one truth, a glow nugget, if you will, what would it be?
You are the only problem you will ever have.
Oh,
and you are the only solution.
That is so good. Yes. Yes. So you are the only problem you have and you are the only solution, guys. So it's such a, like, it's wonderful and full of wisdom, because that is so true. When we don't want to see problems around us, we can actually make it happen.
Yes.
Yeah, and we can try to find the solutions. But sometimes people actually don't even think about, you know, finding a solution. They are just sitting with their problem there.
They don't think that they're the problem. They think that somebody else is my problem. Somebody else caused this. It's your fault. It's never my fault. It's that whole look in the mirror and go, what can I do for me? It's be kind to yourself.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's okay to give ourselves a gentle kick in the pants and to move. Do something different, right?
Yeah. I know I said final question, but now I just need a piece of advice from you for the young girls out there who are starting their adulthood.
Yeah.
What should they do to be successful, like yourself? Like, just be happy. When I say successful, I don't mean to be, you know, money-wise or all that, but just, you know, be confident and be happy in themselves. What would that be?
So for me, that is, you need to get to know yourself. You know, that whole, we are the sum of our beliefs, right? So we get those passed down from generation to generation, and we're a changing world, right? But learn how you think. So do some personal development. That is the most rewarding thing that I've done that's helped me understand how I think. And, you know, when thoughts come in my head, I think I know where that's come from, but it allows me knowledgeably to move forward. So that's quite deep, I know, but that's, just encourage people to do some personal development. It's mind-blowing, really.
Awesome. This has been such a vibrant, honest, and soul-sparkling conversation, Chelle. Thank you for showing up with all your layers, your light and your love. And to our listeners, keep glowing, keep telling, and remember, real beauty lives and lived in stories like this one. See you next time on Glow and Tell.
Thanks for glowing with us on this episode of Glow and Tell on OIRFM, where every story radiates with culture, confidence and care.
Catch more powerful conversations on oar.org.nz, Spotify, Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your glow.
From all of us, Humaira, Haneen and Marwa, stay bold, stay brilliant and we will see you next time.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.